Let's pray together. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Crucifixion needs no interpretation. Blunt hammer and nails, the horror and humiliation speak for themselves. The victim is the message, lifted up before the watching world. Behold, beware, here hangs the God-forsaken. Nobody in Jerusalem knows at noon on Good Friday what it means for God to die for sins. Even after, the claim remains a stumbling block, so says St. Paul, because God cannot die. Thus the point of the whole ordeal. Let the whole world see that God has abandoned Jesus of Nazareth. Let his followers reckon with the foolishness of their faith. He fancies himself a king, a Messiah, the Son of God. Now look, behold, beware, or God will abandon you too. So what in the world does forsakenness possibly have to do with forgiveness? I once read a story about a man so far fallen from grace that he himself wonders if he's been born at the wrong time. Perhaps if he lived in a different age, his predilection towards temptation, his propensity to abandon God would not befall him so often or so tragically. Maybe at least in a different place and time, he would not have to bear so much shame and guilt, such excruciating turmoil of the soul. Nor would he heap such grief and sorrow, such transgression and iniquity on others by his own cowardice, fear, and vanity. The poet says of himself, "My principal anguish and the source of all my joys and sorrows from my youth onward has been the incessant, merciless battle between the spirit and the flesh. Within me are the dark immemorial forces of the evil one, human and prehuman. Within me, too, are the luminous forces, human and prehuman, of God. And my soul is the arena where these two armies have clashed and met." The fallen man despairs because he always loses, always lies, always gives in to envy and greed. He betrays his friends, himself, and eventually his God. Only in a different world, a different age, can he imagine the possibility of true faithfulness. If only the soul's battle could ease and broken hearts mend. He does not set out to abandon God. He does not want deep down to abandon the world, but still it happens. Still he is responsible. Still, we are responsible. Any hope for a different age must reckon with the grim and inconvenient realities of this one. There is no one who is righteous. No, not one. All of us cry, "Crucify him," and forsake God. To avoid the inevitability of sin, death, and the devil is to abandon hope of a truly different world. For how can our brokenness mend without attending to that which finally tears us apart and leaves God forsaken? To forgive is not to forget, but rather to embrace a future that is no longer beholden to the past. Forgiveness remembers all that has gone wrong. It grieves all that has been lost. It laments all that has been broken. It names and accounts for all that has been done and left undone. It sees the ugliness of guilt, shame, envy, despair, violence, and all the rest. And then forgiveness finally refuses to exclude the God-forsaken, the other as the other, and instead stretches out its open arms to meet sinners in a full embrace. On the cross, Jesus suffers the forsakenness of God by men who have washed their hands of their culpability in sin, evil, wickedness, devastation, and death. Men deceived by pride, malice, and greed into worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. Men whose anguished souls no longer know the difference between what is real or unreal, sacred or profane, wise or foolish, human or inhuman. Men who, when faced with the truth, say simply, "What is truth?" and plunge the world deeper into despair as the crowd cheers them on. There is no one who is righteous. No, not one. All of us cry, "Crucify him." And so he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. There on the cross we are forgiven of sin, because God, who is forsaken, as Christ Jesus holds before the watching world its griefs, sorrows, afflictions, and iniquities, God does not see what we see. That while the world looks on and sees God forsaken, Christ Jesus endures the cross. He despises the shame with joy set before him. With loud cries and tears, by his death, Jesus Christ saves us from death. Because there, all that finally excludes us from God is swallowed up in his embrace. On the cross, our eyes see plainly everything wrong with the world, while Jesus Christ looks out into the world that God loves, so that in him nothing will separate us from that love. God will be with us forever because we are forgiven. At the cross, we are freed from the bonds of sin and death in the past, the present, and the future. There, time and space folds in on itself and waits for the heartbeat of God to pump life into a new world by the blood of Jesus. A new world, a new age, a new future, a new creation is made possible because by the death of God, by the forsakenness of God, the devastations of a fallen world are undone. Though sin continues to befall us, and we are left grieving and lamenting our inability actually to do what we hope for, and our stubborn inclination to do exactly what we hate, our hearts cry out, "Abba, Father," and we groan with the creation for new life to come. And we wait for the fullness of our adoption as sons and daughters of God our King, the redemption of our bodies. We are saved by the sure and certain hope of the cross of Christ, waiting for the renewal of all things with patience. In Jesus Christ, God comes to the world in its weakness. It hears our groaning, our anger, and our despair. And he reaches into the depths of death and hell on his own accord, by his own will, to proclaim good news. God has not forsaken us. God has forgiven us there on the cross. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.